Hello and welcome to Wizard Studies.
Join us as we peruse all things Potter.
Welcome to our intro episode of Wizard Studies. Today, we, your hosts, are just going to talk about our basic details in the Potter world so we can introduce ourselves and you can get to know us before we really get started with the podcast. I'm Audrey.
And I'm Katie.
And let's just jump right in. All right, so Katie, tell me something about your Potter story. What got you into Potter? Growing up, everything. I want to hear it.
Okay, so I mean, I think my Potter story is pretty similar to a lot of people in like our generation and our age. The books were out when I was born, so the Potter craze had kind of started before I could read. But my older sister was a super big Harry Potter fan. She's the person who got me into the series. I remember that she would read me Harry Potter books before I went to bed at night when I was like too young to read the books myself. My family just kind of all read it together at the same time. We always went to see the movies. I got to go to a couple midnight book releases when I was probably a little bit too young to actually be staying up that late. I remember I went to the Order of the Phoenix release. I went to a couple of the midnight movie premieres, and then after that, my Potter craze or obsession kind of died down quite a bit throughout high school. But then for some reason, when I moved to college, I just got super into it again because I moved away and I brought all of the Harry Potter books with me. And I think I had to bring them with me because, like I said, I moved away for college pretty far, and having the books with me was kind of like a piece of home. And so they're always a comfort. So then I started like rereading them my freshman year, and I've reread them every year since. And then I started to listen to more Harry Potter podcasts, and that just got me reintroduced to the series. And now I love them more than ever. So, yeah. What about you, Audrey?
Yeah, well, mine's pretty similar. I mean, we're the same age, so obviously the books were out when I was like too young to read them and everything. But I also have older siblings. I have three older siblings, and my two brothers are quite a bit older, so they were like kind of in the full Potter generation. And my parents had read them, the books, to my brothers. And then once my sister and I got old enough, they started reading them to us. They only read like the first three books to us because then they start getting kind of long, and I think that was going to be too much for them.
Yeah.
So then my siblings and I were always like kind of fighting over who would be reading the book at that time. Like, okay, like who gets to read four first? And so I remember it was always something that all of my family could bond about, the movies, the books, everything, because it kind of just like goes across ages. I, like you, it kind of died out for me probably like around the time like getting to high school, end of middle school, where I always still loved it and like would watch the movies whenever they were on TV, but I hadn't done a reread or anything for a while. And then in college too, I watched the movies a lot with my friends at times, but it wasn't until I met you where I kind of got really back into it, and like now it's even more a part of my life than it was when I was younger and reading it all the time. So I've recently like done some rereads and have gotten back into it, which is amazing.
Yeah, like we basically just became friends because we're both really big Harry Potter fans, and I remember like our first conversation, I just remember talking about the Goblet of Fire and like trying to convince you that it was like a better book than you thought it was. I was like, no.
Okay, I didn't, to be fair, I didn't think it was a bad book, and you asked me to rank the Harry Potter books, and I did rank Goblet of Fire last, and you rank it first, so.
Yeah, that's true, it's true.
It's a point of contention in our friendship. Yeah.
Well, that's okay, because we've also been able to experience some pretty cool Potter-related things together. So we actually met while studying abroad in Sweden this past semester in 2018. And so while there, we actually took a weekend and we got to go to the Warner Brothers studio tour in London. And that was kind of like the first thing that we did, like just us two. Like we went away for a weekend and it was so much fun.
It was amazing. It was like one of the best weekends ever. We went to King's Cross Station. That's how we started the day, to the real platform 9 3/4, and then spent like hours at Warner Brothers Studios, and it was honestly one of the best days.
And then do you remember how we close out that day by any chance?
we may or may not have curled up in bed and watched Prisoner of Azkaban with a bottle of rosé.
And our chocolate frogs that we had bought at the studio tour that day. We've gotten to watch Crimes of Grindelwald together. So we've spent hours and hours theorizing and talking about that too.
Right, yeah. Crimes of Grindelwald came out like about 2 months after we knew each other. So it was in November. So we spent like those 2 months theorizing on what could be coming. Yeah. And then we went to see it the first chance we got, the first showing in Stockholm where we were. And then we saw it like again a week later, I think. And since then we've literally just all we talk about is Crimes of Grindelwald.
Yeah, like, do you remember leaving the theater? We were, like, we talked until we had to split up to go home on the metro. And then we, like, started texting each other as soon as we, like, weren't in earshot anymore. Oh, man. Good times. Good times.
Yeah. I was up so late that night trying to figure things out. So
I know. Like, Googling everything. So now I think we're going to talk a little bit about our profiles on Pottermore. My Hogwarts house is Hufflepuff. Because we're the best.
Go Hufflepuff.
And then my wand is 12 and a quarter inches. It's maple wood and has a phoenix feather core. Just to break down that a little bit, I have the information on Pottermore about maple wood and phoenix feathers. So I do think that some of the stuff about maple wood does fit me. It starts out with, I have often found that those chosen by maple wands are by nature travelers and explorers. They are not stay-at-home wands and prefer ambition in their witcher wizard.
That's like spot on. I mean, you are 100% traveler and explorer. That's how we met. And you're definitely pretty ambitious.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that this wand fits me pretty well. And then phoenix feather, there is nothing in the description that is super specific, because it's pretty generic. I mean, it's like one third of wands, and I don't think that much of it associates with me like super closely, but I really like that it is a phoenix feather, because I mean, then I'm like Harry Potter. So
I mean, also it's pretty cool, it says phoenix feathers are capable of the greatest range of magic, so we're gonna take that in the positive sense. I mean, that you would be at the top of that range.
I mean, I like having a phoenix feather. I just don't know if any of the description is like super me specific.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so I am a Ravenclaw. Go Ravenclaws, best house.
Rah, rah, Ravenclaw.
Rah, rah, Ravenclaw. yeah, love that. Totally fit with the house. My wand is Redwood Unicorn Hair Core, 14 and a half inches in unyielding flexibility. 14 and a half inches, that is a long wand. I don't know how I feel about
tall.
That. I am pretty tall. I'm not, like, abnormally tall. It just feels like it would be a lot to, like, handle. Like, I don't know that I can stash that in my robes easily. It's a pretty long wand. All right, so I got redwood. So nothing really stood out to me with this description. It does say that wand quality redwood is in short supply, yet constant demand. Ooh, because it brings good fortune to its owner. Ooh. So I guess that's pretty cool. Yeah, and then I'm unicorn hair core. So they produce the most consistent magic and is least subject to fluctuations and blockages, which I like to think I'm like pretty consistent person. So I don't know, I guess that kind of fits me.
Yeah, I like that. And so then my Patronus is a Basset Hound, which I like well enough. I do really like dogs, but I know in my heart that my Patronus is actually a hedgehog. I don't care what Pottermore tells me. But going off the basis that my Patronus is a Basset Hound, I looked up that like Tumblr thread that breaks down what Patronuses mean. And so it talks about how Basset Hounds are most common in Hufflepuff, which makes sense because I am a Hufflepuff. It talked about how people who have a Basset Hound Patronus are normally pretty stubborn and are hard to move from an opinion, which is like so me. And then he even talks about how like they don't even realize that they're stubborn, which is also so me. I didn't realize I was stubborn at all till I moved away from home to college, because I think my whole family is just super stubborn. Until I was like moved out of that environment, I didn't realize how stubborn I was.
Yeah, you are a very stubborn person. Not in like a bad way where it's annoying. I think maybe it's not annoying to me because we agree on a lot of things.
Yeah.
But when you get set in your opinion, it's hard to persuade you otherwise.
Yes, and I do have very strong opinions, so. But it also talks about how people with basset hound patronuses are normally friendly in personality and devoted to their friends. Friendliness is something that, like, I pride myself on and I think is super important, so I like that. And then it talks about how actually Slytherin is the house that's the second most common to have a basset hound, and how, like, their stubbornness can be a little bit shown in a little bit different way. So I thought that was interesting.
Not a bad Patronus. I like it. Yeah. I like it for you. Yeah,
they're cute.
So I also have a dog Patronus. I'm the Irish Wolfhound, which I love. This is what I got the first time I took the Patronus test, so I feel like that's my Patronus. I've gotten other things since, but I've never had anything I identify as much. So yeah, it says that Irish Wolfhound is seen as an imposing force, but really are absolute sweethearts, which I feel like people kind of tell me all the time that they're intimidated by me, but then I don't see it that way. Like, I think I'm a pretty nice person.
I could definitely see how people can see that. And then you're just, like, super nice and sweet. So I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I think it's just because I'm not as, like, outgoing friendly as you are.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, but I also the Irish Wolfhound can be extremely aggressive when the need arises, particularly when protecting its loved ones. I think kind of goes for me. I do value loyalty very highly. Might be a little bit of Hufflepuff in me there.
I was just about to say, are you sure you're not a Hufflepuff?
Yeah, I am always really low on the Hufflepuff scores.
And then my Ilvermorny house is Thunderbird, which is the soul of the wizard. I mean, we don't really have much information beyond that, but I like it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, mine's the same. Also Thunderbird. I also don't really have an opinion on that. It sounds cool. I guess I want to, like, know more about Ilvermorny.
Hopefully we will.
I know. Cross your fingers. Because I feel like I can, like, get on board for the Thunderbird Soul of the Wizard. I'm not entirely sure exactly what that means. It's, like, less obvious than the Hogwarts houses. But it sounds cool. It's definitely a really cool beast.
I definitely really like it, and it sounds cool. And I like how it's the soul of the wizard. I think that's also really interesting. I'm excited to learn a little bit more about what that means. So now that we're kind of done with our Pottermore profiles, we're going to talk about our favorite things and least favorite things about the wizarding world in general. So we're going to start off with favorite characters. I have quite a few favorite characters, and some of them are new, and some of them I've loved since the beginning. So Ginny is probably my first favorite character. She's always been my favorite character. I have always wanted older brothers, which I think is one of the reasons why I, like, really liked her the most. I think she's just super strong, and yeah, I just think she's super badass and cool.
I totally understand why you like Ginny. I mean, she's one of my favorites too. And you, like, kind of fit that badass, like, this is book Ginny we're talking about.
Yes.
A little bit snarky at times, you know, like, she's got, like, good comebacks, totally a jock. Definitely everybody likes Ginny, at least it seems that way at Hogwarts, so I can see it.
Yes, I would like to say that I was basically like Ginny in my high school. Okay. I also, like, I love how sassy she is, because that's something that I really pride myself in, is being, like, super sassy as well. I know that's something weird to be proud of, but I love that I'm sassy. And so then my, like, next favorite characters are Fred and George, which is kind of a new love that I have grown recently, kind of re-reading the books or re-listening to the books. I just think that they're so underappreciated in, like, the Potter community. I think they're so nice. I think that they're hilarious, and they're just, like, good guys, and they're so cute. I love them.
Okay, if you had to choose, though, which one do you like better, Fred or George?
Okay, so I've been reading some stuff about, like, how they're different, which is part of, like, one of the reasons why I think, like, my love for them has grown. And I could be wrong, but I think it's that, like, Fred is the more outgoing and loud one, and George is, like, the more quiet one. So I think I like George better. Also, I just think, like, I have this, like, picture in my mind of them just being, like, super hot Quidditch beaters. Like, I'd definitely be all over George at Hogwarts. Anyways. And then the last character I have on this list is Tonks, and she's one from, like, probably the original watch through, original read through, that she's always been one of my favorites. Number one, she's a Hufflepuff, which I love, and I think she provides this kind of different view of Hufflepuffs than you get while you're, like, at Hogwarts with Harry. You never really meet a Hufflepuff like Tonks. I mean, Cedric is kind of, but Tonks is so much more edgy than Cedric. Cedric is kind of this good all-American, I know they're British, but all-American kind of guy. And Tonks is so much more edgy and cool and badass. She's also really clumsy, which I identify with so much. I'm so clumsy. So I remember in the Order of the Phoenix, when they talk about her tripping over the umbrella stand all the time, I thought that was the best thing ever.
Nice. All right. My favorite characters, I also have a lot. And I mean, from the beginning, I was always the biggest Hermione fan. I've always kind of been a nerd, loved Hermione growing up, identified with her so much. Now, this was before I ever really, like, got sorted. You know, a lot of people just kind of assume they're Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Which I never was like, I'm a Gryffindor. I was always like, I'm Hermione. Mm. And I was Hermione for Halloween. I just really admire her intelligence, but I think that she's just such an interesting character, because the more you dive into her, the more you see these complex layers, because she's not just the smart one, obviously. She's super brave, and I don't know, she's so cool.
Yeah, I also want to say that Hermione, she would be on my list if I extended it a little bit. She's just slightly below the rest of those.
All right, so then my next favorite that I listed is our girl Luna. I mean, she's a Ravenclaw. And during the movie, it doesn't do her justice, which we will talk about this eventually. I was recently rereading the last four books that obviously Luna comes in five. And she's such a kind person. She's so smart. She's can relate to Harry on some levels that neither Ron nor Hermione can. I mean, her whole storyline in seven, she's just incredible. And I mean, yeah, like sometimes she does provide a little comic relief.
Yeah, she's also a Ravenclaw, so.
Yeah, so I gotta love her, yeah. You know? Gotta have someone from my house.
Yeah.
And then my next one that I had listed was Ginny, which I also think she's such a badass Quidditch player. I think that's my favorite thing about her.
Yeah.
Like her sassiness and her Quidditch. And then I threw in a professor there, which the professors definitely aren't the ones that I'm always thinking about as my favorite characters. But McGonagall, you just gotta love her. The more I learn about her, that maybe just, like, gets mentioned in the series, but then if you're reading the thing on Pottermore about her, she just has such a cool story, and I think that I would love to hear about her time at Hogwarts. She was a Quidditch player, and just throughout the whole series, she's super badass, always standing by Dumbledore's side, always there for Harry. If I were at Hogwarts, she'd be, like, my favorite. She'd be my favorite teacher.
Yeah, if I had to pick a favorite professor, it'd be McGonagall. I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So moving on to least favorite characters. So mine is always one that, like, people don't think of, but I have reasons why I hate this man. Okay, so my least favorite character in the whole series is Professor Lockhart. I hate him so much. In the movie, does not do him justice, because I got so saturated with the movies at one point in my life, and then when I finally went back and reread the Chamber of Secrets, this man is the biggest asshole ever. I think one of the reasons why I hate him so much is he embodies my least favorite traits in people. He's so arrogant. He's so conceited. He thinks so highly of himself. He looks down on everybody else. And I think those are the real traits that people have in the real world. And he is just this caricature of them. Those are the things I hate about people the most. He is just the worst. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Lockhart's annoying, and he's totally that person where you can pinpoint. You've met people like that before, maybe not exaggerated to that extent, because, I mean, it's exaggerated. But I just think it's interesting that your least favorite character, he only really comes up in one book. We meet him again at St. Mungo's, but it's an interesting hate.
Yeah.
I get the reasons, but it's interesting that it's the number one for you.
I mean, obviously, there are other characters I hate, i.e. Umbridge, but I just think I have a special place in my hating heart for Lockhart. And I don't know. It's just something about him. Every time he speaks, I want to roll my eyes. I just can't stand the guy. He's also a Ravenclaw. Just throwing that out there.
I know. I know. It's disappointing. But I think the reasons that you hate him are pretty Hufflepuff of you.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't like him either. I don't like a few people in Ravenclaw that maybe I should like just because they're my house. But I don't, that's stupid. I don't think I should like people just because they're the same house as me.
Yeah.
All right, so my least favorite characters. Well, I have two because I can't decide on anything. This is a common theme. So my number one is Wormtail. Mm. I just can't stand the guy. I mean, first off, he's just disgusting. That's just in the movies. He is perfectly depicted, just gross. And then he's a little brat. That's the only way to describe him. He serves such a major plot function, you know. He's the one that helps Voldemort come back, and he's the one that told the location of where the Potters are hiding and everything. So obviously we need him in the story, but I do not want him there at all. Every time his name comes up, I get mad.
Yeah, he's one that I cannot picture him being a part of the Marauders. I don't know how James and Lupin and Sirius were friends with this man. And I know that a lot of that stuff has been talked about and kind of figured out. They took pity on him, like Lupin is the one who brought him into the friend group. I still just, I can't understand how they were friends with this man.
Yeah, and I just, that's also one of the things I just can't wrap my head around. It. It breaks my heart to think that they brought him into the friend group. Yeah, sure. I imagine that like James and Sirius didn't really pay attention to him most of the time. They let him hang around with them. They helped him become an animagus, which is then something that he ends up using to evade capture after he betrays them. They did so much for him, and then like his betrayal just pisses me off. And the fact that he could look at Harry and it seems like he doesn't feel any guilt. I don't understand his motivations, because Death Eaters, you can't get where they're coming from because obviously they're terrible.
Yeah.
But they never had this sort of connection with the people that they're like straight up going against. It's just complete betrayal, and it just, I get so mad every time I think about it. I can't even speak straight.
Yeah, side note on that. So I am one of those people who still plays Hogwarts Mystery on my phone, which I know most people still don't, but there's this, I'm doing this quest right now where Percy lost Scabbard, and there's one point where they see his footprints change from rat footprints to people footprints, and they're like, oh, somebody must have picked up Scabbard. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God. I love Hogwarts Mystery is actually like, I recommend it just for the storyline.
That's wild. So over winter break when I was home doing nothing for 5 weeks, I did start playing Hogwarts Mystery. And I got through, I think, the second year or something.
Yeah.
But then I came back to school and I haven't had time for it since. All right. So then my other least favorite character is Umbridge, which that's almost everybody's least favorite character. I mean, she's just so annoying. There's no other way to describe her. She's annoying. And she is a terrible person, just objectively. The things she does to those students, I was reading Order of the Phoenix, and I just was getting so mad. And the thing is, it pisses me off because she just does it for power. She just wants this control. And for no real reason. How does that gonna benefit her that much to be a hated headmistress? Why is that all she wants?
One of my favorite quotes to bring up when we talk about Umbridge is Stephen King literally has called her the best villain ever written. And I think part of the reason is because she's just purely evil.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this parallels my favorite professor being McGonagall. They are total opposites in every way. And honestly, one of the best things about the addition of Umbridge to the series is seeing McGonagall go against her. That scene where I think McGonagall is just meeting with Harry.
Yeah.
And Umbridge keeps coughing. And McGonagall goes, do you need a cough drop, Dolores? It's so funny. You see this different side of McGonagall. You see Harry and the trio respecting McGonagall more once Umbridge comes into the picture, which I think is kind of cool. I mean, it was a genius move on Joe's part to bring her in and to get everybody united and hating this one character, but she's just the worst.
Okay, now I'm going to start talking about my favorite book, which we've kind of alluded to earlier in the episode, but my favorite book is Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which is not a super common favorite book, and I don't know why. I don't understand why people don't appreciate this book. I think it's because they haven't read it in a while. That's my theory. It is so good. I love seeing the other schools. I think that's so cool. I love seeing the Triwizard Tournament. Some of my favorite, absolute favorite scenes in the entire series are in that book. The whole end scene where, never mind, we're going to talk about our favorite scenes later, so I won't talk about it now. But it's just so good, and the trio is finally getting a little bit older, and they deal with more complex themes, and it's just so good.
I mean, we've talked about this. I did rank Goblet of Fire as my least favorite. And I recently reread it, and I really enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. I think I was so saturated with the movie, which I don't like the movie for it, that I just had forgotten so many of the intricacies of it. Obviously a really good book. I obviously love all 7. I don't know if it moved up that much in my rankings just because I can't afford to move anything else down.
Yeah.
But I see the reasons why you like it now, and I think it does start introducing these way more complex themes. Harry going through more meaningful things. I mean, not that he didn't already have terrible things happening to him.
Yeah, and I think another reason why I really like it is it's one of the first glimpses we have of past Hogwarts, the whole wizarding world. With the Triwizard Tournament and with Quidditch World Cup at the beginning, there's one scene where Mr. Weasley is literally just like, oh, that guy like works in the Ministry of Magic doing this. And we just learn so much more about the whole world where previously we've pretty much been confined to Hogwarts. So I think that's another reason why I really like it.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so my favorite book is Half-Blood Prince. I don't know. This was always my favorite book. I think you really start getting into the nitty gritty of things. You know, you learn so much more about Voldemort's past when Harry has all those lessons with Dumbledore. You learn what Horcruxes are, which is the big thing in the series. Also, there is a lot of time just kind of spent at Hogwarts during this book, which in 5, everything's all wacky because Umbridge is there and you got Dumbledore's army going on. And in 4, the Triwizard Tournament's going on. So that's the main focus. But for a lot of 6, it's Harry learning from Dumbledore and obviously the Half-Blood Prince, the whole potions thing.
Harry making out with Ginny.
Yeah, okay. I love them together, and they do. This is the beginning. I mean, the beginning is the start of the series, but this is finally when you get something going on.
Yeah.
I also love, it's sad when Ron kind of disappears for a while with the Lavender, who I absolutely hate, but yeah. You get a lot of Harry and Hermione time, and I really like that their friendship on their own without Ron. I think that they have, it's just totally different, and like Harry does miss Ron through a lot of that time, but I think it's really cool to see that glimpses of his friendship with Hermione specifically. And then of course, I mean, the end of Half-Blood Prince with Dumbledore dying, I just remember sobbing. Mm. And that's one of the times this series has hit me the hardest. So I think I really like sad movies and all that stuff. So this definitely, with the sad ending, is, and then, but the ending turns around real quick and you're like, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
Horcrux hunt.
Half-Blood Prince used to be my favorite book. Through the first read, Half-Blood Prince was my favorite book until I did a reread and discovered my love of Goblet of Fire. Like you said, I just love where they're hanging out at Hogwarts. I think it might, in the end, it might not seem like the most normal and average year for Harry, but during the year, it really was. He just hung out and had his lessons with Dumbledore and mackin' with Ginny.
Snoggin'
with Ginny. Okay. So now, favorite movies. This one was really hard because I don't aggressively love any of the movies. I love that we have movies and watching them is great fun, but I don't really love any of them. But I think I've come to the conclusion that Order of the Phoenix is my favorite movie. And I think the only reason for this is because I am a sucker for a great montage. And Order of the Phoenix has some of the greatest montages I've ever seen, with the DA practicing and, yeah, just great uses of montages.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably don't like those montages.
Yeah, people are like, it makes it so long, it's so boring. But I love those boring montages. Every movie, montages are my favorite part. I don't know why, but hey.
I love the DA montage. Like when you see them all cast their Patronuses.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I don't have another better reason than that. I just really like the montages in that one.
All right. It's a good enough reason.
Yeah.
My favorite movie is Prisoner of Azkaban. I don't know if I have any real specific reasons why. I mean, we'll get to this, but the end is just so much fun. It's also my second favorite book, and I think I didn't really like how Half-Blood Prince came out as a movie. So I love Prisoner of Azkaban, then by default kind of becomes my favorite movie. But I think it's a fun year at Hogwarts, and I just think the ending is probably what makes it into a great movie.
I agree. I think that one's really good. I think that with the change of directors, a lot of things change that I like. I really liked the more personalized wand styles, which was introduced in that. And I love the Hermione punching Draco scene. So good.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, now moving on to our favorite scenes. Mine are going to be from the book. Neither of these scenes are depicted at all or well in the movies. So I kind of alluded to this earlier, but my favorite scene, hands down, I have two, but this is beyond, way beyond the second one. My favorite scene ever is the end of Goblet of Fire after Harry comes back with Cedric and Moody / Barty Crouch Jr. drags him into his office, and then Dumbledore comes in and we learn everything. We learn about Winky. We learn about him breaking out of Azkaban. And it's this whole mystery that you didn't even realize was there is just unfolded to you. And everything makes perfect sense. I think it's one of the situations, like one of the first situations anyways, where we see how well J.K. Rowling ties things together and how well she gives us breadcrumbs that later have these huge long stories, backstories for.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. This scene is massive, also done terribly in the movies.
Ugh.
But I just love that there's so many things. On my first read through, I didn't know half the mystery that I was reading you know? I just thought the big thing was, who put Harry's name in the Goblet of Fire? You know, that's what everybody's asking him. And then it's right after Voldemort comes back, so you're like, okay, this has big implications.
Yeah.
And then once things start getting explained, you're like, oh, I didn't realize that this was something that didn't get accounted for earlier in the series. You know, so many little things that then when you reread... book, you pick up on those and you're like, how I know that this is gonna get revealed at the end.
I love that so much. I'm a sucker for a great mystery. And then I'm gonna have a side note, like a mini scene that's one of my favorites, also in Goblet of Fire. I don't know why, but this scene where Harry's in the maze and the Sphinx is giving him the riddle and he has to figure out that the answer is spider, I just have such vivid memories. So I would always spend my summers with my grandparents at their house, and they had this old cassette player, and I had some of the books on tape, audiobooks on like cassette tapes, and I would listen to Goblet of Fire over and over again. Probably another reason why it's one of my favorites or my favorite. And I remember this scene, just the first couple times I'd listened to it, I'm just like, this is great. This is the best. I don't know why, but I'm just a sucker for a good mystery, and that's a little mini one. And then my second real favorite scene is the beginning of Half-Blood Prince, the first chapter, The Other Minister. And I don't really know why that's one of my favorite scenes. I just love the beginning. I love that we get, again, more information about the wizarding world as a whole. I think it ties it to the Muggle world and makes it seem like this could be real, or this is real. This could be happening right now. There could be wizards out there. And this is why we don't know about it, because the Prime Minister thinks that he'd be crazy if he told somebody that he knew that there were wizards out there. I love it so much.
Yeah, that scene is super cool. It explains a lot. And then also, I mean, that scene, it gets left out in the movie, but they do have the little bridge collapsing. And we walked across that bridge in London.
I reenacted it breaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love it so much. And I think J.K. has that thing at the beginning of every book where she kind of gives you a recap, and I think this is one of the most creative and effective recaps, because it literally recaps every single book leading up to that, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, because the Prime Minister is like, don't you remember the dragons? And they bring up everything that has happened. So
yeah, and I also think that as you're describing this, I'm remembering more and more why Half-Blood Prince is my favorite book.
Yeah.
Because it's such a cool beginning. It's so unusual that we don't start out with Harry. And yeah. Not only do we start with this chapter, but then we go to Snape after, yeah. Right? It sets it up in a little bit of a different way. It's a shakeup, and I think yeah. It's really cool.
No, I agree.
All right, so my favorite scene, which is probably in the books and the movies, my favorite scene. I was originally thinking about this within the books, and then I was like, oh, this is great in the movies too. It's the end of Prisoner of Azkaban, starting with the Shrieking Shack. You learn everything about the Marauders. You get all this information about kind of this mystery. Harry doesn't really know why his parents... I mean, he still doesn't find out why Voldemort was going after his parents, but he's able to, like, direct his blame towards someone accurately, not towards Sirius.
Yeah.
And I think it's the way it all unravels is so cool, and with Snape coming in, and you just have everything... You find out so much. And then it's not really a scene because now I'm extending it to the end of the movie, which always ends up being longer. The end of the book / movie, you're always like, why do I have so much left? And then they go back in time.
Yeah.
So you have to relive that entire part. And I love the whole time traveling thing. I think time turners should be kept to Prisoner of Azkaban.
They shouldn't shoot their way into a cursed child. Is that what you're telling me?
None of this cursed child stuff. But that reveals this mini mystery of where is Hermione during the whole book, you know? And then her and Harry get to use it in such a cool way. And Dumbledore basically just gives them permission. Go back and free Buckbeak, which is so cool. So
yeah, I think it's interesting that kind of both of our favorite scenes are quite similar. They're both kind of the end where you figure out everything that had been going on in that book and the mystery is finally unraveled to you.
Yeah, I mean, that's what J.K. does best, I feel
yeah,
like. It's just so the good. End of books when you have 150 pages left, but you read it all in one sitting.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know?
Yeah, so good. Okay, so to wrap up our episode, we're going to do a pop quiz, which we're going to do at the end of every episode. So it's just going to be a question, sometimes a would you rather, about the Wizarding World. So today our question is, if you could possess one of the Deathly Hallows, which one would it be and why?
I've thought a lot about this, and the only answer I ever settle on is the Invisibility Cloak. I mean, it's just so useful in the Wizarding World. So I'm imagining answering this question if I'm in the Wizarding World.
Okay.
And the way you get to see Harry and the trio use it throughout their time at Hogwarts, they wouldn't have been able to do half the things that they did if they didn't have the Invisibility Cloak. I mean, it saved Harry so many times. It's also just such a cool hallow, whereas the other ones both kind of have their drawbacks. I mean, that's the story of the Hallows, is that the Elder Wand ends up being the death of the first brother, and then the second brother ends up being driven so depressed from the Resurrection Stone.
Yeah.
And I just think the Invisibility Cloak is, it's just far and away the best.
Yeah, I mean, I know I picked this question to be our pop quiz question, but I hate this question. I really don't want, I don't see a need for any of them. Yes, the Invisibility Cloak probably is the highest upside, but I don't know. And the more I've thought about it, I love how the trio, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, all have right at the top of their head a different answer to this question. They all pick a different hallow, and I think that's amazing. I love that. But I don't know. I think I would probably choose the Resurrection Stone. I'd like to think I would probably be a little bit more level-headed with it than the second brother would. I just think that would be really cool, even to just be able to see them. I think the way Harry uses it is super effective. He gets to see and talk to his parents and Sirius and Lupin one more time. And I'm not saying I would only use it on my deathbed, but for situations like that, when I just really need help or comfort, I think that would be super nice. I don't know, when my parents die or when my grandparents die, I'd like to be able to have a connection to them still.
I think that the Invisibility Cloak has, like, much more of a use in, like, if you're running away from Voldemort, like Harry's, you know, like in my day-to-day life, like, am I gonna use the Invisibility Cloak? Like, only if I want to spy on people, which, like, yeah, maybe I would do, but, like, I'm trying to imagine myself in the Wizarding World, like, I would definitely, like, want to use it to, like, sneak around Hogwarts. Because I wouldn't, like, have the guts. I don't know how, like, people would go out of bed without the invisibility cloak. Like, that must be what, like, a lot of students do. And I don't know. I wouldn't have the guts to do that. I would need the invisibility cloak. So I think that's kind of wrapping up our introduction episode. So going forward, I mean, obviously this is a weird episode. We're not just going to be talking about ourselves for the rest of the podcast. But going forward, we're going to start breaking down characters, houses, pretty much anything in the Wizarding world. I think we've got some pretty cool ideas lined up. But mostly, I think we're going to focus, at least for the beginning, on character analysis. Really just like diving in and breaking down everything we know about these characters. So yeah.
As always, thank you so much for listening. And remember, just do your best. We'll do the rest.
And learn until our brains all rot.